it's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos, maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan. So Mike Elias was promoted by the Baltimore Orioles. Now, Jeremy, earlier we had Mike in Baltimore give the team a shovel because, what did he call it, sleazy?
Sleazy.
Sleazy way of promoting him. He's the president of baseball operations. They did that over the past offseason, Ed. And now the team is going to be looking for a general manager. Mike Elias, for all that he does well, he's one of the best around. I think this moves him into focusing more on the things that he does well and bringing a general manager to optimize all the opportunities for the Baltimore Orioles. Mike Elias, we know this. He falls in love with finding that diamond in the rough, polishing him up, and making something out of him. Maybe the organization wants to go into a direction where they get a general manager who is okay with spending the owner's money.
Any chance that you think they might fill it from within, say, Eve Rosenbaum or something like that?
Yes, I do. My hesitation is I think Eve Rosenbaum one day is going to be a tremendous general manager. I do. I don't know if Sig wants that job.
Mm-hmm.
I think Sig loves the numbers. I don't want to speak for him because maybe he could be listening right now thinking, shut up, Rob, I do want it. I just, you know, just the conversations that I have with him, I don't know if he wants that.
I hope Sig's sitting in his car going, you don't know.
But I think E. Rosenbaum one day is going to be a tremendous general manager. And I think it would be no better position to put her in than up, you know, to do it under someone who brought her into this realm of front office work.
Yeah, I disagree with most people about the job that Mike Elias has done here. I do think he is trying to go, or at least tried to go, the cheaper route and finding something more of value than overspending for something that he thinks is okay, the Santander versus the Tyler O'Neill thing. But I think they need to overlook that and start spending more money and maybe overpay and try to get the guys that you absolutely want. But from a drafting standpoint, from a developing standpoint,
yeah,
I don't think there's any question. From doing the right thing at the trade deadline like they should, you know, everybody killed him for the Kyle Stowers thing, and now you look at what Trevor Rogers is doing, and where you at? Nobody's saying anything anymore, right? Nobody's bitching about it. They're all gone. And here you are with a situation where you have what I deem to be a really good GM that got put under fire for false pretenses. So I'm happy he's here, and I think he's going to do an even better job in this role, and we're going to have somebody else that's handling some of the stuff maybe he's not good at.
Guys, my only question is, when in the offseason did they make this move? And I'm going to snoop around a little bit, but it's when in the offseason? Was it before the free agency and you offered Burns the money and he turned it down? Was it after they signed some guys and said, yeah, this is not exactly what we wanted? You're great at this. Next time, let's have, I would love to know when exactly in the offseason was this move made.
I bet it was made right after the season.
What sparked it? Did you see that?
What?
Was that somewhere?
No. I think.
Okay.
No. Oh, I'm sorry. No. That's my personal belief. Is like,
okay.
Because like, if you look at the offseason, there was no specific thing that happened to say, hey, this is why you want to lock him up there, unless it was just something they had been talking about. Because it's ironic that you extended promoted your GM to president, and then you end up firing your manager this season. So now there's a lot of wholesale changes that need to happen. Maybe you think you need even more personnel here for the offseason that you have coming up as well.
Maybe Ed, you want to hire a GM that you feel more confident in hiring the next manager.
Possibly.
Although that's not.
This does raise a lot of questions, though, for me, because you promote him to president of a baseball operations. You can look for a new GM, and GM's going to pick the new manager. and actually be, you know, then be the guy that's in charge of the scouting and the drafting and the player development, all the things that go on at that level. So you mean Elias wasn't doing a good job? Like, what is he going to do as president?
He's going to do more, from my understanding. From
things
what
he does well, but what are they?
Scouting, international marketing, all those things he's going to continue to do. And oversee. He's the bird's eye view. He won't oversee the day-to-day operations. He's more of a, it was that macro. He's looking over it all.
Yeah.
Where you bring a GM to directly look at the micro and whatever they define that micro to be. Whatever. We'll find out what, I guess, Mike Elias' Achilles was when we get the new general manager and find out what he is doing, he or she is doing. I'm all for Eve. I am. I don't know if they'll go in that direction. I would love to see her promoted to that position.
Well, it almost feels like The Office here when they promoted Jim with Michael Scott, and Jim sees the day-to-day activities,
right,
and someone oversees big picture things. Yeah. You know, all the big that's what it feels like.
I feel like that's what it is. Honestly, I don't. Yeah. You know, I'm not a guy who watches The Office, but
no, you've watched it. I know you have.
I tried.
Full House.
I tried, man.
Sorry, Joe.
Are you ever going to stop that callback?
No, it's great.
You know what you're going to make me do, right?
You're going to get in a fight with Joe, or you're going to watch it?
You're going to make me watch that show.
Cut it out, Rob.
Is that a reference to the show?
You know it is. You've seen it.
I didn't.
Joe, tell him he's seen it. He knows that's Uncle Joey.
Cut it out.
Rob loves Mr. Woodchuck.
I forgot about that stupid ass thing. Mr. Woodchuck.
Ed.
Uh-huh.
Help me out, man.
I just...
Hold on.
Have you ever watched Full House, Ed?
No.
Okay. Yes, he has.
I doubt that.
I have never...
Everyone's seen it.
I have not seen one episode.
How's it feel, Ed?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Uncle Jesse has to be your favorite character.
I mean, Italians didn't watch Full House. That's what it is.
Hey,
how does it feel, Ed? No, see, this is the deal. You guys are a little younger than us, all right? It came on Friday nights. I had better things to do on Friday nights.
That was a great lineup that time period.
And I didn't watch any of it.
It was TGIF.
We established this. It was from my late teens to my almost mid-20s.
Yeah, so
I wasn't
so my late 20s, 30s then. So
exactly. Yeah. I wasn't home on Friday nights watching television, and they didn't stream back then.
Like, you had Family Matters, Perfect Strangers, Boy Meets World, Step by Step.
Joe,
I'll tell you what.
I didn't watch Family Matters, dude.
You know, with Mr. Cooper?
Yeah, I hung with him. By the way, I love that show so much. My dad took a picture. He met Mark Curry in the Bahamas, and he took a picture with him. And I had to tell my dad, guess who wasn't hanging with Mr. Cooper?
Let me tell you what I was. Look, on Friday nights in my late 20s, to take from the great Lil Wayne, I like my chicks in twos.
Oh, man. Jeez. Well, there were more than one chick on this show. So,
dude,
Full House.
I wasn't watching Friday night TV, man. I'm sorry.
I don't believe either one of you.
I knew Ed wasn't watching. That's why I said help me out, because I know I'm not the only man on this show who didn't do it. It's definitely in Joe's wheelhouse.
How does
it's kind of in yours too, Jeremy?
It was no, I watched it. I don't think either one of you guys watch it. I'm just playing this up because I think
it's uncool to watch it. It's just Friday Night TV.
Thought it was uncool to watch it until you heard I was watching it. You go, well, then it has to be cool because that guy is the epitome of cool. That's not what happened.
That's not what happened.
Oh, okay.
Mike Preston joins us at 8:30. But on the other side, we're going to take a preview at week 3 of the college football season because Jeremy is delusional. Up next on The Fan.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. I'm broadcasting live from Rogers Center in Toronto, Ontario. Ed and Jeremy back in the studios, 105.7 The Fan in Baltimore. Guys, I feel like the most underrated game of the week, the game that you should be talking about, but people just aren't. I hear more about Alabama, Wisconsin, which we'll talk about. But I think the 4:30 game on the CW network with Miami hosting South Florida is going to be a barn burner, and I just don't think it's getting enough love right now.
Yeah, the that actually comes on after reruns of Full House and Family Matters on the CW, so you can check that out. No, but look, so
I thought it was the show with the three witches. I thought that was on first.
Supernatural or something? Or, no, I don't know what it is. Anyway, I think you're right to a degree because I apologize to South Florida for what happened in me picking Florida to beat them, saying I wasn't familiar with your game and the ongoing Shaq or Charles Barkley joke. But let's be fair here because Florida made a bunch of mistakes, had a dumbass penalty at the end of the game that cost them. And then on top of it, you know, you lose that game. So let's say Florida wins that game. What's this point spread? Does anybody think it's ridiculous? Because Miami is a 17.5 point favorite, the same way Florida was last week. I think Miami comes out and shows what they're all about. And South Florida needs to keep this game close and just not get blown out. And they might have that outside chance of making that run. But I don't think they win here. I like Miami a lot.
Ed, your thoughts on this one?
I like Miami. I think Miami's now. Are they fifth in the country now? I don't have it up in front of me.
50th. I'm
sorry. Fifth. No, they were. That's a good team. It really is. And I mean, I'm glad they're back. I'm not a fan of the Hurricane, but I'm glad they're back. I just think they're a much better team. And they're going to show it.
I hope South Florida wins. But again, as I said to you earlier, Ed, hope is not a strategy.
Yeah. My rooting interest is South Florida. That's a Tampa team.
Yeah.
I'd like to see them win. If you go down to Tampa, you've been there a bunch. You see all those South Bulls Florida gear everywhere. I mean, yeah.
One of my cigar buddies is a professor at South Florida.
Yeah.
He's down there.
Yeah.
Another game that's kind of flying under the radar, I think because it came off of a huge loss, Notre Dame hosting Texas A&M. TAMU. Your thoughts on that, Ed?
I think isn't it hard to get away from Notre Dame in this spot?
It is, I think.
Because,
yeah.
After what happened in week one.
Yeah.
We had Lee Sterling on, and he was talking about it, and he almost, that's how I was thinking, but he kind of convinced me that Notre Dame's the right side of this.
Notre Dame lost and moved up in the AP rankings.
Yeah. Well, it's not like when Florida lost and moved up two spots, right? That
was one woman. Florida dropped. They dropped that in the top 25.
Yeah, they legitimately moved up, and I'm with Ed. Yeah. I don't understand that.
But, yeah.
I'm going with Notre Dame in this one. I think Notre Dame is going to bounce back. They got a lot of talent, Jeremy, at home. I think the little luck of the Irish happens here. Yeah. Another.
I agree with that. Me too.
I think love goes off.
Another top 25 matchup. Number 6, Georgia travels to number 15, Tennessee. Your thoughts on that one, Jeremy?
So, to me, this is the one you circle this weekend. It's you get a matchup like this 3 weeks into the season or whatever you want to call it, because I know we had week zero. But Georgia going on the road to face Tennessee, and a lot of questions about Tennessee and how this game's going to look and being at home. But you got a young quarterback going in. We just saw this with Arch Manning. Hadn't played a road game, goes into one of the toughest environments, which is Ohio State, national champs. Everybody's talking about how it's going to look. Everybody bet on Texas. And then he went there and didn't look like you expected him to. I think Georgia scuffles here a little bit. I like Tennessee to knock him off early and upset. I just think this is a really tough spot for them early in the season.
I hope you're right.
I mean, I think Kirby Smart's the best coach on the field. So, look, I fully expect him to have his team ready. But I like this Tennessee team in this spot.
Hey, you know what chaps my ass this year? What really chaps my ass. This is the best South Carolina team we've had in quite some time.
Yep.
Yeah.
And Georgia's not on our schedule. What is wrong with SEC? I don't remember. I've been a South Carolina Gamecock fan since 1994, and somebody correct me if I'm wrong. I don't remember Georgia never being off the schedule, ever.
Ever.
It's the back door backyard rival, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
It's not Clemson, but it's next to Clemson in terms of rivalries. This is the best team we've had in years, and we don't get the chance to beat up on Georgia. So I hope Tennessee does it.
I think Tennessee wins. I mean, they're at home. I like Tennessee. I just think it's a great spot.
Now this one, Alabama. All eyes on Alabama. Alabama's 1-1, and you said it, Jeremy. They're not playing the JV team that they played last week. They're playing a 2-0 Wisconsin team at home at Bryant-Denny Stadium. How you see this one going?
Well, I was just telling Joe I wish he had some MC Hammer because I think this is puffy pants time. Mm-hmm. Alabama embarrassed week one. Nothing they did in week two is going to settle down that fan base. You get a 2-0 Wisconsin team, which I don't think they're great, but it's a Power 5 school that gets respect. They're not mm-hmm. a bad football team.
22-point underdogs.
And Alabama is going to beat their ass.
Alabama's going to cover that?
Yes. I think Alabama routes them. I don't think when Wisconsin falls behind that they can catch up. And I clearly, when I think this game, they pull away in the second half. We get the old Mo game. It's a pull-away game. I think Alabama wins big.
Ed, he's saying that Wisconsin's win against Miami of Ohio. Yes. Middle Tennessee State mean nothing?
You should have said Tennessee and Miami. And then it said, oh, that's, I mean, Middle Tennessee and Miami, Ohio.
Is that what you're saying?
Yeah. Like,
Ed, he's saying those wins mean nothing.
That's what he said.
Like, Rob, tonight there's a game where UCLA's 0-2. But they've played better opponents than their opponent who's coming in facing them, where it's like everybody's going, oh, my God, I can't believe they're giving up 17.5 points. They're 0-2. Well, there's a reason why they're favored, or 14.5, whatever it is. There's a reason why they're favored. They're better than them. They played two tougher teams, and they played two cupcakes. But people always look at the records.
Joe just gave me a stat. Last year was the first time Georgia and South Carolina did not play since 1991.
Ah, Wendell, you became a fan.
So that's why, 3 years before. That's why I don't remember. Mm. So thank you very much for that, Joe. I love college football, man. I'm getting a chance to watch some of it tomorrow.
Colorado-Houston tonight should be good.
Yeah, should be. You think who you like in that one?
I like Colorado. I like the under more than I like Colorado, but I do like both sides of it. I think when Colorado's going to make a quarterback change, so I don't know what to tell you about their offense and how it's going to look. I know Houston's a good team and should be a front runner in that conference. But Colorado's defense is way better than people want to give them credit for. They were good last year. It's just everybody talked about their offense, and I didn't think their offense was that good. Mm. A lot of sacks, a lot of bad plays. But, yeah, I think this defense is up to snuff to keep this under the total. That's my favorite play, but I do think Colorado keeps it close.
Does bulletin board material work in the National Football League? We'll talk about that at 9 o'clock. But on the other side, Mike Preston joins us to give us his breakdown, this preview of this upcoming matchup against the Cleveland Browns. And he played Division I college football. Did bulletin board work for him? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on The Fan. Oh, that's so appropriate for this dude. A Ray Charles song for Mike Preston. Joining us from Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Courtesy of the Window Nation guest hotline, he is Mike Preston. What's up, Mike?
Hey, good morning, guys. How's everybody in there?
All right. Doing well.
Did I ever tell you my story about this song? I'll be brief. Like, in high school, in drama class, we had to imitate somebody in a performance, and I did Ray Charles, this song, What I Say. And I was going great, and my teacher said I would have got an A until I turned the page to see the rest of the lyrics at the end. And she goes, that's something Ray wouldn't have done. That you're blind. Yeah. So I got an A minus. Thanks.
Mike, you played a high level of college football, and we've heard a lot from the Cleveland Browns this week. And Kyle Hamilton said you shouldn't need bulletin board material. Has another team ever sent bulletin board material your way? And if so, did it do anything for you for that game?
You always look at it, and you just keep going, and it motivates you through the practice during the week. But it all comes down to, Robin, we talked about this last week. Everyone kept saying, oh, they're going back to Buffalo, and they lost that game. It wears off in 15 minutes, and then you're just out there playing against each other. That's the way it goes. But I wouldn't want to be the safety or the corner that says that about Derrick Henry.
Yep.
He's way too big. All right. And I'm not tackling his big butt running 6'5. He's 6'5, 253, running a 4'3, 4'4 in the open field. And nah. Hey, Grant Delpit, be quiet. Sometimes, man, you got to leave well enough alone. I wouldn't want that nightmare coming at me.
Yeah, and he'll slow down just to give you a stiff arm into the turf.
At the very least. Yeah, and he will do it on purpose, and we will all laugh. And come on, man, you can talk about their secondary all you want, you know. And they made some comments this week, and it was all justified because their secondary was terrible. But he rushed for 9.4 yards a carry. I'm not messing with that guy, man. No.
All right, so what concerns you about the Browns? Does it start with Myles Garrett?
What concerns me about the Browns, one, offensively, is Joe Flacco. I mean, and the Ravens got to get a pass rush. You got to move the quarterback. Josh Allen is a different breed. It's the new breed in the NFL, guys being mobile, being able to move around. But Joe is the kind of guy that's still going to throw from the pocket. You got to move him. And I thought last weekend, I went back and watched the film, the Ravens, I didn't see any exotic blitzes. I didn't see Kyle Hamilton coming off the edge. I didn't see Marlon Humphrey coming off the edge. I saw him play pretty vanilla. And they can't get a pass rush. Did Odafe Owe, I asked you guys, did he play in that game?
I think he had
he was on the field. He didn't play.
Yeah. Kyle Van Noy had like 4 or 5 tackles, and I thought he played well against the run. But as far as getting a rush, no. And, you know, John Harbaugh talked about, and Zach Ward both talked about lane integrity. Guys, you can talk all you want about lane integrity. Here's the deal. You better have a pass rusher who can beat somebody's butt one-on-one, and they don't have that guy right now.
Mike Preston joins us, Baltimore Sun, BaltimoreSun.com. Speaking of guys who were disappointing, Jair Alexander, he needs a bounce-back game in a major way because not only was he, you know, not all this advertised, he was kind of a liability on Sunday.
Yeah, he needs to get his butt practice. You know? Hey, Rob, we all know, and all of us have coached, there's a difference between practice speed and game speed.
Yeah.
All right. And when you're practicing and you got coaches, you can walk out there and stop practice anytime you want and hold it up for 20 seconds and make your corrections. In a game, it changes. And it's a fast tempo, fast pace, and he's got to get used to that. And when you take off 2.5 weeks to 3 weeks before that and then you don't practice and then practice the Monday before the Buffalo game, he got exactly what we thought he was going to get. He was going to get beat, and he did. Mm.
So what do you see? There's the whole 30th anniversary of the team stuff, the controversy of doing it during this game. The Browns fans are all fired up. Does any of this matter at all as far as changing the temperature of this game? I just think the Ravens are going to curb stomp these guys.
Well, you know, the Browns ought to shut up and get their own history. All right? You haven't won a Super Bowl. Yeah, you haven't won anything. What have they won?
They've never been to a Super Bowl.
You know what I mean? I would get irritated and a little ticked off. Yeah, because the Ravens have a history. They've won 2 Super Bowls. You guys haven't won anything. Yeah. So I understand them being ticked off. I understand them being mad.
Mike, right, that's not true. They won the right to pick first a couple times.
Yes, they did. But hey, man, establish your own history. Get out there and win some games. You can't even find a quarterback. All right? You got a 40-year-old guy playing quarterback for you. That tells you something about your franchise right there.
Mike, do we have any? Go ahead. Sorry, Rob.
Real quick, Mike, I found out yesterday, you probably already knew this, the Ravens planned this before the schedule even came out. They didn't even know the Browns were going to be a part of this.
Man, let me tell you something. They've been talking about this for a long, long time. I mean, it's 30 years. I heard about it. I knew about it. And good for them. And you know something? I love seeing Ozzie Newsome coming out of that tunnel with Ray Lewis and Jonathan Ogden. All right? I mean, I was there from the beginning, so I appreciate that. I want to see it. And Cleveland, if you don't like it, stay home. All right? Go to your dog pound. All right? But, no, it's time to celebrate. Yeah, 30 years, 2 Super Bowls, and there's, like, what, 14 teams that have never won a Super Bowl? It's a good time to celebrate, guys.
Do you know the last time the Browns won a championship? Jim Brown was still playing. Leroy Kelly was his backup, who was my favorite player when I was a kid.
What was it, like 1964? 64. Like
that's 64. They won the last championship. Yep.
Yeah, he knew who the man. Leroy. Anyway.
So. Leroy went to Morgan, I think.
Did he?
Yeah.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Hey, Mike, do we learn anything? Like, let's say the Ravens come in, do what they're supposed to do. They win a game, nothing special, nothing dramatic. Do we learn anything from this weekend, or do you think it's really going to take that Detroit game and that Kansas City game to see what we have here?
I think you learn to mix and match pass rushers and coverage. That's what they learn defensively. Trenton Simpson, Buchanan on the outside. Keep an eye on that one. That may change. Because you didn't see Trent Simpson playing a lot in the second half of that game. To me, that was a heads up right there. Offensively, they scored 40 points, man. You score 40 points, you're supposed to win games. All right? I got no complaints with their offense. I mean, some of those guys, I mean, what, Mark Andrews at one catch, 5 yards? I mean, he might be a little ticked off. But for the most part, they ran up and down the field until the end. But no complaints with their offense. Defense, they have to make some adjustments, and we'll see what happens.
All right, give me a winner and a score.
Oh, Ravens win 31-23 or 28-21, somewhere in there. But I don't see the Browns being much. And plus, the Browns always play the Ravens tough at home.
Yep.
They're on the road celebrating the Ravens' 30th year in Baltimore.
Yeah.
And they stole your franchise, okay? I get it. I understand why you're angry, but establish your own history. I don't care what anybody says. Go win, all right? Just go win.
Hey, Mike, we have you on Monday, right, in studio?
I'll be there, Rob.
Thanks a lot. Can't wait. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, see you guys.
All right, Rick Ritter joins us at 9:15, but on the other side, it's the World of Stupid.
All right, well, we're going to talk about an emotional support animal. See what you guys think about the different ones that people have. This one is kind of crazy. We're going to talk about two eggs poaching. Something from a New Jersey mini golf. The New York Post wrote that one. And the annual whore-off between Bonnie Blue and Lily Phillips. Who can out-whore the other one? We'll tell you what Lily Phillips is up to.
Who's
next?
Judging?
In the World of Stupid. Everyone.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns.
And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right. Stupid stuff. Let's get to it. Let's start it off with the emotional support animal. Pennsylvania has banned this guy and his emotional support animal from Walmart after receiving VIP treatment at restaurants with his support animal. Any guess to what this Pennsylvania man's emotional support animal is?
No.
Does anybody know?
Yeah, please tell me.
It's an alligator.
Oh,
now, who the hell is bringing a damn alligator to Walmart? And I don't care who you are. You can love it and say it makes you feel good. And look, I'm a big believer in mental health and everything. Like, the stuff that I've gone through has opened my eyes. But it is something, too, where like you have to be respectful to other people around you. I think having an emotional support animal that's a dog or a cat, it makes more sense and people are more comfortable with it.
I don't buy half of that either.
But, you know, people are doing that just to get their pets on flights and different things with them and be able to take them everywhere. But even that is a stretch because guess what? There are people out in society that don't like dogs or cats. So to have this, you had a lady with a peacock try to get on a plane. Like,
yeah.
I guess anything, this is my emotional support giraffe. Well, where the hell am I going to take it? Go ride it off into the woods or something. But like, How does this stuff even get passed?
Dude, I don't know. I swear to you, I saw two young ladies. I was taking a flight to Tampa recently. I mean, they were dripping in couture. It was disgusting. Like Louis Vuitton jackets and Gucci shoes. And
hello,
Prada.
Dolce and Gabbana.
It was disgusting. And she jumped me on the line. Somehow I got a better seat than with her, and I said something. She said, oh, well, go ahead. But she had an emotional support poodle. Not a miniature poodle, a standard poodle.
The big
like
one.
A 60-pound dog. I don't buy any of this.
You know the best.
What is your rosé too not chilled? Like that, you're having a breakdown because your rosé is not chilled today, lady, with your Louis jacket? Come
the
on.
Best emotional support dog, in my opinion, golden retrievers.
Yeah. Good dogs.
They're special dogs. Yeah, well, they are, man.
So this Phillies fan was denied entrance into a Citizen Bank Park when he tried to take the support alligator to a Phillies game. They also said it's not illegal to own an alligator in Pennsylvania. which it just seems kind of weird to me. Like, this is a 5-foot alligator, by the way.
Oh.
It's not like a little baby or whatever. Yeah. It's a 5-foot alligator, which is it's still a smaller gator, but when you see it up close and it's right in front of you, it don't look small.
Mm-mm.
So I just think maybe rethinking what these support animals should be.
I mean, look at it. You have dangerous animals like that. That's really stupid.
All right, I got to read you this one because it's one of the best headlines. Two bad eggs poach iconic vintage Humpty Dumpty statue from New Jersey miniature golf course. I got news for the guys that stole this. All the king's men and all the king's horses are coming for your ass. That's what's going to happen. And if you break Humpty Dumpty, you better hope they can put them back together again.
Yeah.
What? What? I mean, you have to be drunk and silly or something to do this, but they literally broke into a miniature golf course, a Cape May's Ocean Putt mini golf course, and stole the mounted Humpty Dumpty that was, I don't want to say it was glued down, it was part of the structure. They had to rip it out. So it looks like it's got a hole in its rear end because they ripped it out. I don't know what they plan on doing with Humpty Dumpty, but let me show you a picture so Ed can see what I'm talking about with the hole in Humpty Dumpty's rear. I mean, yeah.
Is that Humpty Dumpty?
That's Humpty Dumpty.
No.
He was sitting on a wall.
Humpty Dumpty was an egg.
That is an egg. It's an egg head. It's an egg head. But this whole thing is, I mean, we see so many dumb things happening. It said one suspect was seen climbing the fence on Jackson Street and damaging the iconic vintage Humpty Dumpty figure by forcibly removing the structure from where it was mounted. So they have video of it. We just get, people do so many dumb things, and they have to be on drugs or drunk. Because, like, I don't know that I've gone to a golf course or anywhere for that matter and said, I got to have that. I'm going to go take that later. Where are you putting Humpty Dumpty? It's just silly, man.
People steal things for dumb reasons.
Yes, just for the sake of doing it, I think it's funny. Yeah.
Although I do think, I mean, I get it why people steal stop signs. I get that. But it's still, you know, stupid.
Yeah, I think I told you before, we were worried that my son was going out and stealing, you know, all those signs. And when we got home, the signs were all there.
Yeah. You like that?
You must be very proud of yourself. Yes. All right. So can we talk in length about this whore off that's going on? Like, this right. This is such a, and I can say whore off because it's the right word. They're whores. These, I mean, there's no other way to describe it. When one woman says, I want to sleep with 500 men in a day. And the other one goes, well, I'm going to do 1,000.
Yes.
And then it's like,
suppose.
Then it's like, well, I'm going to go down to senior week and I'm going to sleep with as many bro frat guys as I can. Oh yeah. Well, I'm going to the senior citizen facility. And I'm going to sleep with as many senior citizens as I can. These are actual things that have happened.
I remember. Yeah.
Like, you've never done that before. Like, you've never challenged a friend of yours to see how many people you can.
Oh, Lance. Are you talking to Ed or me?
Yes.
So this latest stunt that Lily Phillips wants to do, I'm just going to clean this up as best as I can. She wants to give oral while skydiving.
Yeah.
To which I said to Ed, I'm almost assuming you got to be put in the pile driver position. Not the sex pile driver, but the wrestling pile driver. I never thought in my life I'd have to explain that. But yeah. What do you guys think about this?
I think it sounds ridiculous, sounds dangerous. I don't know how you do that unless you're actually tethered together, which wouldn't that make it a little more, I don't know.
Yeah,
I mean, I don't know.
Better be the same size, I guess, right? Because I'm assuming she has to jump upside down or he does.
Right? I don't know.
Like, there was a video, I remember doing the show.
But does she want, like, both the pleasure? Was it?
No, she just wants to do. Yeah,
okay.
She wants to do her thing.
This is 68.
Yeah, so, I owe you one.
Owe you one.
Yeah. Well, this too is like, so we had Steve-O from Jackass in.
Yeah.
And he did his own little like stand-up comedy tour. And so it was more of like, he was funny. He was telling funny stories, but he had videos to go along with it. So it was almost like he had his own Jackass show at his stand-up comedy thing. And he was telling us about one of the events. Like, he went to Puerto Rico and got a vasectomy and then went horseback riding the same day. I don't know if you heard what I said. He got a vasectomy and went horseback riding the same day.
Yeah,
so there were eggplants, but it wasn't his actual eggplant. It was his brr. Everything was that dark purple and messed up. But the one thing he did, and he was trying to explain it and not get in trouble, is that he told Scott that he actually wanted to be the first guy to masturbate out of an airplane while skydiving.
Did he really?
The only issue was that he had to do a tandem skydive, and the guy behind him just has to sit there and watch.
Well, I hope that... What happens when you spit in the wind?
He did get a dollop on him, so...
Yeah, okay.
Dollop. It's really gross.
Who, the guy behind him?
No, the tandem skydive, because he had the guy, like the actual skydiver. Because it was so funny. He's in the plane, and he's watching porn in a plane trying to get ready, and he's like, okay, I'm ready, let's go.
It's just much worse than mine.
Gosh. Oh, yeah. Well, hey, that's your world of stupid, but these girls are running out of ideas, and it's getting more and more just ridiculous of the things that they're trying to do.
Rick Ritter joins us at 9:15, but on the other side, we talked about it earlier. Mike Preston responded to it. Should locker room or bulletin board material really work? Does it really work on the professional level? Baltimore's Big Bad Morning Show on the Fan.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns
know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.